I'd appreciate your prayers. Has anyone ever accused you of being a fanatic? Well, I'm going to confess something tonight. I'm fanatic. I'm a fanatic. I don't think that you ought to be fanatic among the saints. But I think the saints ought to be fanatic about Christ. I was thinking about something my brother told me a while back. We was talking about corruption in sports. That was our conversation. And I made a comment about it that don't mean much. And he said, "That's because you're not a fan." And I said, "True." And he said, "The word fan comes from the word fanatic. That's what it means. You are a sports fanatic. And you're not. But the people," he said, "that give heart and soul and everything to it, it's a crime to cheat them." That's what his view was. And I just brought that out, that the base word, fan, comes from the word fanatic. And, you know, down here you probably have a lot of LSU fanatics. And they will do all kind of strange things. They do all over the country. People do the strangest things and call it normal, but the reason they do them is because they're fanatic. They're fanatic. It doesn't make sense to drive hundreds and hundreds of miles to go to a ball game and turn around and go hundreds and hundreds of miles and back. It doesn't make sense to do it. But if you love it enough, or if you're fanatic about it, you'll do it. I've seen pictures of people that will suffer the most inclement weather for a ball game. They will do some of the most hideous actions in their response to something that goes on in the game. They'll jump up and holler. They'll make all kind of antics about it and do it. Well, because they're fanatics. Well, I'm a fanatic. When I got saved, I started doing some of the strangest things. I would drive hundreds of miles just to be in a couple meetings and then drive back home. Because I'm fanatic about it. I'm a fan of Jesus. I'm a fan. I mean, I got a pat answer for someone that looks at me and says, "You're fanatic." I say, "Uh-huh." I'm fanatic. I do some of the strangest things. You know, Monarch can get awfully hot, but it ain't so hot to a fanatic. Is it? Is it so hot that fanatics don't drive thousands of miles to get to there with it hot? And then the strangest will wear clothes. I mean, we'll stay modest and right there and all that. And we'll do the, and then we'll start singing and people will do the strangest little antics. Well, I've seen people stand up and walk around just with their hands up. I've seen them jump up and just holler, "Praise God!" Just the antics, and people look on and say, "Those people are fanatic." Amen. Yeah. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Jesus, and I wish I had the vocabulary and words to be able to say to you what Jesus really is and means to me. Jesus has been everything to me. When I got saved, I've been willing to do anything I need to do, travel anywhere I need to go, do whatever it takes to be a fan of His. I think He's worth all of that. He gave us something that can never be destroyed. How valuable is that? All this other stuff comes and goes. People that give their heart and souls to teams are so disappointed at the end of most seasons. Most of them never accomplish what they want to accomplish. And they're disappointed with it. But ours has never disappointed us. Ours is always victorious. He's given us something that stands. The famous atheist Voltaire back in the French Revolution of that time said if this one man could set up the Christian religion, he said he alone could destroy it. Voltaire's been gone a long time. And he didn't make a ripple in it. He didn't even dent the Christian life. He tried all he could to try to destroy it, say it was worthless, meaningless, done all these things, and he was destroyed, and it went on. And it goes on and on and on. And it will continue to go on. Folks, I got something for you tonight. Be a fanatic. Don't be afraid to be a fanatic, a real fan of the Lord, willing to stand up and say, I want to tell you, in the world, and they know it well, fans will help a team win. Fanatics. The fanatics, they'll stay in there and as long as it takes, as many overtimes as it takes, in the worst weather, freezing, raining, hot weather, it doesn't matter. The fans are there to put the support to it, that it can have the utmost chance of winning. And that it will draw the utmost response to it because they care that much for it. Tonight, we should be fanatics of the gospel, fanatics of Jesus Christ. We're living in a tough time. We all acknowledge it. I think we all recognize the motions of our time. It's been coming for a long time. We've recognized it. I think those that are in tune to spiritual things have noticed what the world's doing. But there's no cause for us to lay down. But there's no cause for us to think that we won't win. Or that this is, you know, we're called to this time. The Lord didn't call us till 100 years ago. I'm not contemporary with D.S. Warner or B.E. Warren. I'm not a contemporary. I'm a contemporary with you today. We're called to this time to make the most impress on it that we can. We oughtn't be afraid if the world wants to be a fanatic about race cars and sports teams and want to be fanatics about all the things, then we can be fanatics about Jesus. And there's nothing disgraceful about it. It is the most honorable of all. Lord, help us to be true fans of the Lord, willing to do whatever it takes. Now, we live in this particular time, and I feel like we need something. We're going to really need something. I think there's a key to it. If you will, look with me in the book of Hebrews. Just want to get a verse here. 12th chapter of Hebrews. I'll start with the first verse. It's the second one I'm looking at. It says, therefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of fanatics, witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Lord, help us to do it. And it says, looking to Jesus. Now, people look to a lot of things. When trouble comes or need comes, people look to things. When you're younger, you look to daddy or mama. When things happen in life, you look for something. You look to someone. People that get in trouble maybe look to something. I know some people that veterans look to the VA, the Veterans Administration, for help. And some people look to the government for help. And some look there, here, or there. But this scripture says to us, and I believe it's a key tonight to our success. Do you know the real bottom line for every one of us? No matter what else there is, the thing that's really going to make the difference is whether or not I have a personal working relationship with Jesus myself. Now, that's the key to it all. I appreciate encouraging moments like this. And the saints singing and getting together, it lifts my spirit. But it isn't very valuable if I don't know the Lord for myself. What I'm saying is that the Lord wants us, each and every one of us, to know Him personally, know His workings personally, have us in His life till we're saying in the moments of our life, see, to me, you're valuable. But I have a soul to contend with. I trust and pray that everyone here will make it to heaven. But you may not. Everybody here may not stay faithful. I can't hook to that. I'm sorry, I can't hook to just the human. I need something more than that. And the key of it is that we would anchor ourselves and realize that I need a relationship for myself. I need the Lord to talk to me. I need to feel the presence of the Lord in my life. I need to be able to pray to the Lord until I hit the Lord, until the Lord witnesses that in my own life. I need inspiration. When I read, it isn't always inspiring. But I need for the Lord to talk to me, inspire me with it, that I know it's the Lord doing it. I need this relationship so that I can say, I'm looking unto the Lord. You don't have to be around. You don't need to be around. You're not around. There's times in the middle of the night, you're not there. Maybe you're a phone call away. But it still doesn't matter. You can't do for me what I need done. And I need a relationship. And if the world gets more evil, and I'm challenged with more and more, as time goes on, with the evil pressing around, more and more I need a relationship with Jesus Christ for myself that's worked, that's built, that I know He's God of my life. I know He's real. There'll be a time where the whole world around, the Christian world, is going to be challenged. Is there a God? Isn't there a God? Is it real? Isn't it real? It's there today. And it'll get stronger. And the powers will get stronger against us. I'm going to need a relationship with the Lord that goes above all that. You can say whatever you want to say. And you can say whatever's right or wrong. But I know the Lord for myself. He's touched my life. He's touched my heart. I know Him. That's what we all need. That's a key. So who then would we look to? Looking unto Jesus. Yeah. Folks, that there is a key to every one of us. How do I respond to this? I don't know. I better go ask somebody that knows. Anybody here want to raise their hand and be the one that we all come to? I don't think so. Then there must be one somewhere. And that's why we say looking unto Jesus. He's the one that knows the answer and gives the answer. Have you ever had those moments that you just had to say, thank you, Lord? Well, I've had a lot of them. But just about every time I minister, that's the way I feel. And some of them more particular than others. And I'll get in a bind sometimes. And I'll say, Lord, what am I going to do? And the Lord comes through. Time and time again, my faith has anchored on one that's capable. I was called to do a funeral one time. As far as anybody knew, the man wasn't saved. Those are tough times. And I labored around and wrestled around and labored around and worked and looked and prayed and looked and tried to get inspiration and done all that and went through the night, and there wasn't much sleep that night. And I wrestled and prayed and wrestled and prayed, and it come time the next day, and I fed this all the way to me. And I'm going to tell you, I was setting up in the minister's place, the casket there, the time has come, now the minister's ready to get, and I'm totally, oh Lord, what am I going to do? And you know, when I stood up, everything changed. There was an inspiration fell on me as I walked up there. And I started saying that, and the Lord blessed that, and when I got through, I was just able to say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord delivered me in that time. I didn't know what to do or what to say. And the Lord blessed that. Oh, do we need to look to the Lord? What is the answer? How am I going to learn to do it? Lord, help us. Looking unto Jesus, the author who's writing this thing. It's the Lord that's the author of it. I've just got a situation in my right. Do you know the Lord is taking credit for writing that chapter? It's Him that's writing it. I need faith in God, and the Lord knows it, and He knows how to write that for me. To get the ultimate in here that I would try. Lord, help us here. I'm a fanatic of the Lord. And wanting the Lord to be in everything that I do. A fan of Jesus Christ. Want Him lifted up. I want Him not only to be I don't want to be a fan. I want everybody to be a fan of His. I want Him to be what people want. Because He's worthy of all of that. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis, the 26th chapter. Found something very interesting here in this. 26th chapter of Genesis. Oh, maybe we'll go back and get a little bit of the thought. I'll go to the 10th verse. No, the 11th maybe. It says, and Abimelech charged all his people, saying, that he touch not this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great stores of servants. And the Philistines envied him for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. The Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, "Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." Now that's peculiar. Here's the king saying to Isaac, "We want you to leave. We're going to banish you because you're mightier than we are." Well, I don't know how it works everywhere, but it seems to me like in the scriptures that for the most part, the big man rules. Right? Well, I don't know if he said this in a way that maybe he meant you're getting mightier than us, or I don't really, but he said you're mightier than us. So, leave. But Isaac, I'm supposing, if he had grew very great and was mightier than them, he could have said, "I was thinking the same thing, but it's you're leaving." Why not? It seems to me that that's the way it goes. If you're a big man on the block, you get the block. That's the way it works. But Isaac didn't do that. The king says that it's time to go. We want you to go. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of the well Issach, because they strove before him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. Now, again, I don't know about you, but in my mind, that was curious. Wait a minute, Isaac's the big man here. And now is he not dealing with Abimelech, the king? He's off now out of there. And there's some herdsmen come by and they dig a well. They dig the well and could have claimed the well. And somebody else comes by and says, "This is our well." And he says, "Okay." Why didn't he fight him for the well? He was great. He was mighty. I'm just going to take the well. I think there's something very important here for our time. We need the Lord. I need the blessings of the Lord. And it don't matter how I feel about it or what I want or what I think's mine. If the Lord doesn't bless that thing until I have peace about it, until there's something within the Lord about it, there's something got to be, folks, about the Lord. Well, is the Lord in this? Do you know He could have stayed and fought Abimelech for the city? He could have fought these for the... But He didn't do it. Why didn't He do it? Obviously, there was something that was moving Him on. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need the Lord in this time to help us to know where we're going to plant our feet at and where we're going to stand at and where and what we should do. There'll be gray areas all over the place. Lord, how do I don't like gray. I like black and I like white. And that's easy. I'm lazy. It's easy. I know not to do this and I know to do this. It's easy. But gray areas are not so easy. How do you deal with gray areas? How do you know what to do in it? He said he didn't even find him for the well. They strove for it, so he goes dig another one. How many wells are you going to have to dig, Isaac? You're going to let them push you and run you around? It isn't about the world, folks. It really isn't. It's about the Lord. It's about the Lord and what the Lord can do for us in our time. We live in a very wicked time, but we serve a great God too. We serve one that can keep us
in righteousness, in holiness, right here in this day and time. That's the God that we serve. We can still be the ones that reach out to this world, no matter how deep their sins are. We still can do it. But we're going to need the Lord to help us to know how to do it. How else can we do it? How do I know who to go talk to? How to go do it? How do I know what... It takes the Lord to do it. The Lord knows where to do it. So, here's the Scripture. He didn't fight him for it. He said he went and dug another one. And they strove for that one too. So then he digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnub. And he removed from thence. They strove for it. Saul says, this is what they strove for. Well, he didn't win it. He didn't get it. He left it to them. I wonder why. Could it be that he was looking for something more? Lord, where you at? You got a place for us, Lord. You've made a promise to us. You look back in there and just spoke to him and said, I got something for you. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make you a great people. I got something for you. He was looking for what the Lord had. Lord, what do you got for me? It ain't here. It's not here. These are keeping striving. Lord, you're bigger than that. Maybe you got something for me. So he says, and he removed from hence and digged another well. And for they that they strove not, he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Now, I got it. I got this one by the hand of the Lord. I didn't do it by all these others. We was digging and hopeful. Digging and hopeful. And every time we done it, something happened. But this one the Lord has said, this is it. Got you one now. Now we've got room here. We got a place here now. Now I can be confident in this. I like to go into places confident. I like to know that the Lord is with me. Been able to do that a few times in my life. And I want to tell you, it's a good feeling. Remember one time I was at home and things had been really, really, really hectic for us. We'd been traveling a lot and been out a lot. And Brother Darrell Johnson called up. And he said, we went through the, well, hi, how you doing? Oh, Brother Darrell, it's good to talk to you. Yeah. Brother Marty, are you coming to our meeting? No, Brother Darrell, not coming. Now, Brother Marty, he says, don't be hasty. Don't be hasty. He started saying, well, I went on with the meeting. We wasn't going to no Dallas meeting. And moreover than me not going, my wife wasn't going to no Dallas meeting. I remember particularly, we're not going anywhere. And you know, he started talking on the phone. And the Lord started changing. And I started getting a burden. I want to go to Dallas. I want to. Not just, I think I ought to go. But a real, I want to go to Dallas started really penetrating me as I talked to him. And so after just a little bit of conversation, I said to Brother Darrell, can I retract my earlier statement? And he said, yeah. And I said, I can't give you an answer. Let me call you back. I got off of the phone. I walked into the bathroom. And went, just as I got up to the sink and mirror, I can still remember the Lord gave me the burden of the messages. Gave me the burden of the meeting. Strongly gave me the burden of it. And said, I want you to preach them maturity. I want you to preach them to grow up. And he gave me that right there. I'm going to tell you something. I turned around, talking about impressive. I turned around and went and said to my wife, I said, honey, I think the Lord wants us to go to Dallas. And she said, praise the Lord. Folks, we need the Lord. Amen. Looking unto Jesus. I didn't know it at the time, but I called Brother Darrell back the next day and said to Brother Darrell, I don't know what happened. Okay? The Lord's worked in our hearts. We want to come to Dallas. And he said, I want to tell you something, Brother Marty. I've been praying for weeks. And it was you that the Lord put on my heart to pray for. I've been praying for you to come to Dallas. Y'all believe that? I'm a fanatic. I'm a fanatic. I'm a team player. I'm in on this thing. Yes, I want to tell you what happened, though. You talk about going to a meeting with confidence. I was confident. The Lord sent me down there. And there was no doubt about it. But you know, that works well with those situations. But every one of us need a no-so, I know the Lord's with me attitude. I know that the Lord's there. I know I have a relationship with the Lord. I know the Lord's working with me. The Lord has proved it. I think the Lord wanted to work in Isaac's life. Yeah, you can go whoop up on people. You can do things on your own. You can have a ministry on your own. You can do whatever you want to on your own. You can sing on your own. You can act on your own. You can do anything on your own. But you can't have the blessings of the Lord on your own. We need to look to Jesus until we have the blessings of the Lord on there. So I know this is what the Lord wants. I can't say that I fought these guys off and this is my will and the Lord give it to me. Lord, you do something for us. So that we can know and testify it wasn't at our own hands. It was at the hands of God that we're where we're at. We're drinking God's water here. We're not drinking our own hands. This water is good water. Somebody come along and say, I wouldn't drink that water. It might be bad. You can say, you can drink this water. For the Lord has given it to us. It's valuable here. Oh, how often we want to fight the thing in our own abilities. Do it on our own. Fight our own things. And you can do that. But the problem is when the troubles come and the hard times come, the only thing you got yourself.
That's true.
I was probably one of the laziest students that ever went through Webster County High School. And I was pretty gifted in math. And my math teacher used to always say, I was in lower grade math, and he'd say, Marty, you're so capable of so much more. What are you doing in here? You should be in the higher math if you can do it. I got in geometry in some of those higher classes, and it was a breeze to start with because all I had to do was look at it. I knew what the answer was. That's not hard stuff. And then you had to remember formulas. Or you had to work a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You had to know how to do it. And that started stumping me. And I'd pass all the tests, and the teacher was a wise man. And he used to be able to look at my test, and he would say, of the answers that I could get and what I didn't get or leave undone, and he looked at me and said, if you would just work a little, if you would just remember these formulas, you could ace all these. But I didn't want to do it. My interest wasn't there, so I didn't do it. Listen, I graduated high school too. When they said at the end of it, everybody was going to see where they ranked. Oh, I was number 10. I ranked number this and standing. They asked me and I said, I don't want to know. I know I'm graduating. That's good enough for me. That was the highest goal I had was to graduate. Well, I want to graduate in this too, but I'm going to tell you something. It's just like those math. You may get through some circumstances in life. They might not be that tough. Somebody might come and do something to you, and you really don't care whether it's important or not. It isn't that big deal to you. So somebody sideswipes your car. You don't care that much about the car. It ain't that important deal. Okay, you can handle it on your own. I'm going to guarantee you there's going to be things come that you're not going to be able to handle by yourself. There's going to be events in your comes that it's going to take, and you're not going to have the strength and ability. You know why? Because you dug your own wells, and you kept your own wells, you fought for your own wells. You never had this experience the way you said, the Lord helped me. The Lord did this. I looked to the Lord, and the Lord helped me right here. The Lord was willing to come and touch this place in my life, and now I can stand on this thing. Little by little, the Lord builds us up. And He helps us with our most holy faith to build up our faith in life. And Lord, I want to be a fanatic for You. Help me as this time goes on. This is what happened in his life. He was fruitful. They had a fruitful land. And he went up from hence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. And it will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged the well. Oh, see, and Abimelech went to him from Gerar. I'm not good with these names, folks, so I'm going to go down. The chief captain of his army, and says, Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, and we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace, thou art now, what a statement, thou art now the blessed of the Lord. Oh, how I covet that idea. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. You're the blessed of the Lord. You and your life, what you went through. Now, he went through a test before the Lord. And now, he's the blessed of the Lord. Prosper. The Lord's looking down on his life. The Lord's willing to fight his battles for him. The Lord's willing to stand for him. We need that tonight. Every one of us needs. You can't say it often enough. You need a personal relationship for yourself. Just coming here is not going to do it. Just even being faithfully coming is not going to do it. Calling on the ministers and their prayer has been answered is not going to do it. You need a personal relationship with the Lord for yourself that works for you. It'll work in the middle of the night. We'll work in the long time. We'll work when you're under temptation or persecution or those kind of things. You need a relationship with the Lord. You need to be called now the blessed of the Lord. The Lord has visited you. The Lord, you've got a testimony. Every one of us ought to be able to have something that we can testify of God's grace, of God's ability in our life, a change of my life, the help that the Lord's given me, an inspiration that God has given me. Lord, help us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Not looking to all these other things, but looking unto Jesus. Lord, where do you want me at? I want to encourage you to step out for the Lord. Amen. The Lord will fill your hands. That's right. Be willing to put it on the Lord. Be willing to reach out for the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? You say, I ain't qualified. None of us are. That's not what it's about, being qualified. It's about the Lord qualifying us to our work. We do have to be qualified. I tell you, we do have to be qualified. But it ain't of our own qualifications. It's the Lord will qualify us when we want to do the will of the Lord. Help us to do the will of the Lord. Lord, make a place for me in your church, in your land, that I know that you bless me and work with me. There is things, folks, in the church that I'm not blessed to do. I acknowledge other people's gifts. I don't have all the gifts. I'm not a special singer, by far. It's not my gift. I've even done it a couple times, tried. It's not my gift. It's yours. Yours. It may be somebody's. It's not mine. There's other things that I have tried, and to be honest with you, if you would ask me, I'd have to tell you, I'm not blessed. I don't have a gift for it. But somebody does. Somebody has the gift of it. You want your space? Looking unto Jesus, do you know what might be your salvation? Your gift. It might be what it will give you the courage and the strength. It might be the location to where you see the Lord firsthand, face to face, when you have to pray it through for your gift. That might be the area. Oh, I said many times, before I ever started ministering, I was the adult Sunday school at Green Bank for about 5 years. And it was a fearful moment. The first time I ever stood up to do it was, I nearly panicked. It was fearful to do that. Well, Brother Mark was sitting there, and I don't think he was the first time, but Brother, it ended up me being this young guy, standing up with Brother Clifford Wilson sitting there. And Brother Sammons is over there. And I'm standing up and I'm thinking, what am I doing? What am I doing? I was pursuing a gift that the Lord gave me. And did you know, in spite of my youth, in spite of the gift worked. It worked and it worked and it worked, and I've seen it work. And I used to always say, Lord, this is taxing on me. Sometimes it's so hard, it seems like. But the Lord blessed me. I saw the Lord. You know what that really was? That was really a preparation. Now, I still feel the gift. But the preparation for a deeper ministry was in that ministry. And there was times in that ministry that I would beg, plead, search, look, read, study to try to get something meaningful and inspired for Sunday morning, and couldn't get it all week long. And it ain't too pressuring when it's only Wednesday. Thursday ain't so bad. Friday, I got 2 days. Saturday's getting close. Saturday night's bad, and Sunday morning without anything is horrible. There's been times that the Lord, wanting to show me He was God, wanting to show me not to panic, wanted to show me to trust in Him, would wait until I got to service to bless something. Why do you do that, Lord? Because I want you to trust me. I want you to be right there for it. I'll give it to you in an instant if I need to. You trust me and I'll give it to you. And you know, there was other times that the Lord, I would get through with Sunday morning service, and go and set my seat. And during the preaching, the Lord would give me next week, so I'll just be inspired and ready. Lord, I want it like that. That's good. As a matter of fact, I'll get my notebook out and just give me a bunch of them. No, I don't want that. The Lord was preparing something more. You see what I'm saying? It's meaningful to me. It might not mean much to you. But it means a lot to me that I can count on the Lord at the last moment if need be. The Lord's able to do it. He's able to give it to me. I've had a time that I was expected and needed to minister, and I had nothing in sitting there, and it's just about time for the Word, and the Lord has never, ever failed to give me an inspiration. That's God, and He wanted me to do it and be there for Him. You know, most of the time, if He gave me something on Sunday a week early, when I got an inspiration on Sunday, I braced myself for the week because I was going to have a week, boy. And most of the time, if I had a week of all kind of things happening and not having a chance hardly for anything, but the Lord was faithful to the gift that He had given. I know why Isaac didn't contend for those wells. He wanted the hand of the Lord in it. He was desperate for the hand of the Lord. If the Lord gives us the land, then we can stay here. And if the Lord gives us something, folks, we can keep it, and it will be the means of many, many blessings to us and others. Seek tonight. Seek for what the Lord has for you. Lord, give us that. Looking unto Jesus. Lord, what do you have against that day? What do you have for me? That I can be a part of a body. That I can help. That I can be into this thing. I want to be more. I want to be a player, but I want to be a fanatic for you. A fanatic player. I want to be somebody that's given all to this. Puts my all into it. There is a number in the Scripture of fanatic. But let me give you another one. Over in 1 Kings, I believe it is. No, I'm sorry. I'm looking for 1 Samuel. 24th chapter. First verse. And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told to him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all of Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes, and by the way, there was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. Now, those that talk about these kind of things say that those caves over there many times was very extensive caves. And Saul went into the inside of the cave, and there was much extent, and David and his men was inside the caves there. That was the setting of this.
And it says, where are we at here? And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day on which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good to thee. I know what them men was thinking. Now that's a lot of real mild, gentle language. But I know what that meant. Those guys was just as tired of running as David was. It was unjust. They was put under it. And now, what does it look like? What does it look like? It looked obvious. And I know what they said. Kill him. Kill him. Right there he is. You kill him or tell me to kill him. Let's kill him. Right there he is. Let's do it. That ends the whole thing. This is it. It's the end of this. We've run far enough. It's the end of it. David, kill him. We'll clap. We'll cheer. We'll have a party. Let's do it. Get him done. Right here he is. He's before us. And even so, the Lord has given him to you. Right here. You know, David wanted more, didn't he? He wanted more than the kingdom, the natural kingdom. He could have got it ruthlessly. He could have tried it. Why didn't he? Why didn't they contend for the wells? Why don't you smite him, David? It's right there. It's an easy decision, isn't it? No, it ain't an easy decision. I can't do it. I can't do it. Because there's more involved in here. I want God to do it. I'm desperate that God does it. If I lay to my hand to it, it's David do it. And all my life I'll be plagued by what I've done. Understand? I can't do it. I've got to look to Jesus. I've got to have God do the work for me. I've got to see the Lord in this. I'm going to tell you, when this is all said and done, folks, when our life is all said and done, when the events of our life, when the circumstance, when the temptation, when the problem, when it's all said and done, at the end of it, we've got to be able to say, it was the Lord. It was the Lord did it. The Lord come to that rescue. The Lord give me strength to stand. At the end of it, we praise and glorify the Lord. It wasn't my own hand. It wasn't us as a body. It was the Lord that defended us and took our place. We need it to build on. We need it to build on. David, Brother Jim told us many times up home, he chose Saul to be king, but he made a king out of David. He made David. He made him strong. He made him. He put him on the run. He challenged him with this kind of stuff. Are you going to take your own way when it's laid before you and easy? Or are you going to defer it and wait on the hand of God? And he deferred it. He wouldn't do it. He said, I can't do it. And he even repented of his little action. He went in there with a little bit of carnality, with a little bit of, I can't just let him go without him knowing something. I want him to know I could have killed him. Oh, how many times? How many times we'll say, we're going to let the Lord take this battle, but I want them to know that I could have done something about it. Oh, Lord, help us here. Lord, it says, looking unto Jesus, the key, I believe, of our future success in the Lord as a body is going to be made up of the success of every individual. And the key that they hold to find Jesus in the circumstances of their life, to have a power greater than ours that will lead and guide and help us through the circumstances, through the temptations, through the things. And when I have to say, when I have to come to the point that I have to bow my head down and humble myself and say I was wrong, I need the key. I need a power better than that, because, folks, we may have to do it. We may have to say, I was wrong. I was wrong about that. And it's hard to do that. It's difficult to do that. And I need something to make me to help me to do it. I need a power. That power is in Christ. Lord, help us to have the key. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. To say to Him, Lord, I'm not going to touch Your anointed. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to step into realms I don't belong. I am not qualified to take Your anointed out. You anointed them. You take Him out. It's Your job, Your duty. I can't step into the Lord's place. The Lord don't want us in His place. He's got a place that He holds in Him alone. And that's the dictating of the circumstances of our lives. He don't want us dictating them.
but trusting in Him. Lord, help us to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And David looks at this and he says, he don't touch Him. You can read this here. He went in and he cut the king's part of his skirt off. And then Saul gets up and goes his way. And was oblivious that anything had happened. He had laid there asleep. And David comes up and he could have stuck it in his chest as well as cut his... But he didn't. And you know what? Still on the run. He had to accept, it's God that put me here. God's making something out of me. You know, God wants to make something out of you. Amen. Tonight. He wants to make something out of us. He wants to make something out of me. You. He wants to make something out of every one of us. He wants us. We know there have been a lot of messages in this meeting about being a worker of the Lord. He's got to make that. He's got to make it. Well, I want to be a worker of the Lord, so I'll go to the seminary or go and learn something. You might learn some head knowledge, but you still don't know what you're doing. And you don't know how to do it. You don't know what it takes. But the Lord does. And the Lord wants to make each and every one, the willing, those that are willing, that He would make that if we would look to Him. And folks, I want to look to Him because I'm going to tell you, what's coming on in this world, I'm going to need it. I'm going to need something to where I can stand real square. And if you want to look at it, you can find some real encouragement in the Scripture. That cloud of witnesses was men that learned. It was men. It was men that looked to it. It was men that had something in their lives and hearts and wasn't willing to give it up for nothing. They held on to it. How am I going to get that? I look sometimes and say, I see a lot of failure around. I see this one and this one seem like a man much more smarter than I am, more gifted than I am and all that. And they failed. What chance and hope do I have? I have a chance and hope. I've got to put it all in the Lord. Humbly looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, so that the things that come onto my life, I've got the power to be able to stand against it. I don't know what this world may hold altogether. There's a possibility there may be some persecution for the saints ahead. I don't know. It looks like it's lining up that way. I don't know. Will I be able to stand up and say, Jesus is my Lord regardless of what you do to me? That big statement. People had to give their literal lives for such things as that. And there's been people that could do it and did do it. Was able to do it. And say, Jesus, I'm a fanatic. I'm a fanatic. You can take my head off and I still believe in the Lord. You can't change me or alter me. I believe in the one that never falters and never fails. And you may take this body, but you can only take this body. I think of old Stephen over there when they were stoning him to death. Nothing but victory. Looked up and seen Jesus on the right hand. He had something that held him. He wasn't giving in to it. He looked and seen Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Must have been mighty encouraging. Inspiring. What are you going to do? I imagine in my mind him saying, I'm going to warn you, brother. You better not. You're about to set me free. You're about to turn me loose. You think you're harming me. One more stone and you're going to set me free. You can't hurt me anymore. You better stop and think what you're doing. You're going to torture and punish me, get me pain. You better come and do it because I'm quickly going out of here and you're the one that's going to set me free forever. There's a radical fanaticism about it. But he was radical and he was fanatic. And out of that fanaticism was made one that became more fanatic than he was. That held the coats of them that threw it. And he ended up, the Lord came along and worked with him and made him and called him to a specific work and he took the challenge. He was called an apostle to the Gentiles and he took hold of it. And folks, he became fanatic. He was so fanatic in what he done. And the way he done it. And the way he talked. And the way he did it. But he was fanatic and yet he stood before the nobles, the great, the people, the orators, those, all those kinds, and outdone them all. He stood between those that didn't want it, King Agrippa, and he almost persuaded him. And then he spoke to Felix and Festus and those guys, and he outdone them all with fanaticism, with a love for the Lord. He stood up and did that. He had a call on him, something on him. You know, he didn't just jump into that. The Lord worked him into that. Worked with him and made him and got him there. And he preached righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. He said they trembled. He moved them. He moved them by the gift that God had given him. He moved them. But he didn't do it by himself. He wasn't able of doing that. He recognized it. Pharisee of the Pharisee. But I can't do it. I've got to win Christ. I've got to win Christ. I've got to have more. Looking unto Jesus. Jesus is the one that starts it. You know, without the Spirit of the Lord, we're nothing. We have nothing to offer anybody. Brother Sammons used to say it a lot. Said, boy, he used to say, we're a pathetic people without the Spirit of the Lord. With the Spirit of the Lord, we're dynamic. And it's hard to beat. Without the Spirit of the Lord, we're pathetic, he'd say. We need the Lord. We can't afford not to have Him. Looking unto Jesus, be the answer. Be the answer to our lives, folks. It's a key. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord and have a real relationship with Him that works, I tell you, you need to get one. Because that'll be the key to your success. Look at another scripture with me. Well, I'll just kind of go through this one. You can look at it over in the 6th of Daniel. There were some guys that... All three of these have the same idea behind them. The Philistines envied Isaac. Saul envied David. And these men envied Daniel. You know why? Thou art blessed of the Lord. You can't do nothing about it. They envied. You know, we're going to be envied too. It's amazing to me some of the things that's said and done. I say, where did that come from? People will look at us and say, oh, I wouldn't want to live like that for nothing. And I look at a destroyed, terrible, sin-ridden, can't-get-along-with-anybody life and say, and you wouldn't want my life? I've got such a peaceable life. I've got such a blessed life to have what I've got and what the Lord's done for me. They envied these guys. They envied Daniel. Daniel was blessed of the Lord. He walked it with integrity. He wouldn't curse or swear against the king. He wouldn't even make a bad gesture to it. He honored the honorable things. He was noble in the way he lived and honorable. And he was upright. And it stirred wicked men. Folks, we got it coming. You got it coming. I don't know why it's that way altogether, except the spirits are so much different. It provokes people. Righteousness provokes sinful people. They can't take it. They don't like it. It challenges them. You're so good. You're so... They conspired to get rid of him. You know the story. They had the king sign a decree. The king didn't know what he was doing. He was beguiled. So he signs a decree in that, and he thought it was honor and praise him. You can't pray to any man or God for 30 days except the king. And they got him on that. You know, men have a certain amount of pride and think about him, and he's king, and that's a good deal. And so he signs that off, never wondering, knowing what he's doing. Uh-huh. We got an occasion against Daniel. Couldn't find anything wrong with him, but he was fanatic. You know, you're going to get caught in your fanaticism, folks. You will get caught. You'll get caught in your fanaticism. Somebody's going to know you're a Christian if you get fanatic enough about it. They'll just look at you and say, you're one of those Christians, aren't you? Yep. You're fanatic enough, they will. And if you're not fanatic enough, they'll never know. You can hide it from everybody if you want. But you get fanatic, folks, you're going to give it away. You're going to slip up sometime and you're going to say, praise the Lord, just because you got a habit of it. Or you're going to say sometime, somebody's going to say something. I notice myself sometimes doing it. I'll go to the post office with people that not just like round us and stuff, and somebody will say, it's a beautiful day. And then I'll say, yeah, thank the Lord it is. Well, yeah, thank the Lord it is. That's an expression. Oh, just give it away. One of them old fanatics. Somebody that loves the Lord and thinks he means something. Well, why are you dressed like that? One guy looked at me and said, I don't know. He said, I've never seen you in a pair of shorts. I gave it away again. Every time, turn around, my fanaticism is giving me away. Daniel's fanaticism is giving him away here.
They knew if you're going to get old Daniel, we know where to get him at. He's so fanatic about God. He's so fanatic. So they set this decree and then they go to peeking and one. You know they was. Somebody's looking, watching, kind of peeking around. You know what Daniel did? It said when he heard of the writing, it says that he went and opened his window just like a four. Now, let me be the gainsayer here. Let me be the guy that's with Daniel, the friend. Let me be the guy that's there, that's not fanatic, but he's kind of around the fringes. Oh, Daniel, that's not required of you. Oh, you don't have to do that. Well, you can be a Christian and not put that window, but it's only for 30 days. You don't have to do that. You don't have to wear that. You don't have to look that way. You don't have to look like that. You don't have to do that thing. You don't have to go there. You don't have to be in service. You don't have to pray. You don't have to do that. How many times have I heard somebody tell one of our people, that's not required. Daniel, that's not required. It don't matter. I'm a fanatic. I'm a fanatic about it. I'm just going to do it anyway. I'm going to be fanatic about it. Just like I always did. Looking unto Jesus. This is a good place, Lord, for You. You've taught me to be this way. You've blessed me when I threw these windows open. Time and time and time again. I've been right here. And the glory of God come through the window. And I've been blessed right here on my knees and praying. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be blessed. And I'm going to be fanatic. And I'm going to throw the windows open. Time and time and time again. In a sinful world. I've been blessed because I'm modest. Okay? I'm not stopping. I'm going to live that way. Because the glory and the blessings on me for it. And so I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to be fanatic about the Lord. I'm going to keep praying. Even when they say you shouldn't. I'm going to keep living for the Lord. And trusting in the Lord. Even though the requirement ain't that. It is for the fanatic ones. Because the Lord has proven Himself to my heart. And this is going to stand the ages, folks. I'm going to tell you, it'll stand the ages. It's what will. The life of Christ is what's going to endure this age we're in. You're going to have it. Daniel had it. Threw the window open. You blessed me too many times through here. And he prayed. Just like he always did. Is there a penalty for it? Yep, there's a penalty for it. But I still got a God. I still got a God. I'm going to tell you something. How do you think Daniel felt in his spirit the day that he come out? Well, I wonder how he felt going in. But how did he feel coming out? How did he feel when all that time the lions didn't pay him attention? When he come out and then he could say, God answered my prayers again. Just like He always did. You want to know the truth, folks? I don't know that Daniel necessarily said, I know them lions are not going to eat me. I think he said, contacting the Lord is more important than being eaten by lions. That's what I think he said. I'm not giving up contacting the Lord no matter what they do. This is what has brought me the inspiration and blessing to my life. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to keep doing it. And when they had the decree and he knew what the penalty was, he went ahead and done it. And God done the rest. God can do anything God wants to do. And God did it that way for old Daniel. And you know what happened to the envious ones? They was lion food. Over and over it again, folks. We need looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I thought of another scripture. It's located, I think, over in 1 Kings 19. It was the story of Elijah. Elijah goes and has the great trial with the prophets of Baal. And you know the story. And after that's over, Jezebel hears the story about how Elijah hacked to pieces her prophets. And she said, he's going to be asked one of those. Okay? We're after you. Trying times coming. Trying times. God just worked a great miracle. Trying times. Elijah goes to the cave. Only one. Nobody left. Nobody else served God but me. Lord, take me on.
Take me out of here. I'm done. We're done. Nothing else here. But the Lord said the Lord come by. And there was a great storm. The Lord wasn't in that. Great wind. What? The earthquake come. The Lord wasn't in that. I'm listening. Lord, where are you? Lord, somewhere around. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then there was a small. I'm listening. No, he's not there. No, that ain't him. Would you hear the still small voice? What was that trying to say to us? Surely it has a meaning. The Lord can boom. It didn't say that in other places. Thus saith the Word. Thus saith the Lord. But here, He gives a little indication of something. It gives the indication to me is folks, you better be listening. You better be desirous of the Lord. Because He ain't always coming in no earthquake for you. You know what? There's nothing wrong with this technological world. But I don't know. The Lord just seems to let me say this from time to time. Folks, be careful with the gadgets. Yes. There's nothing wrong with them. But I know they're one time consuming, eating up thing. I was up in Kansas City at the hospital and I pointed this out to my wife. Five young women in a row come down to a bus stop. I pointed this out to her. Every one of them got there and they put five people standing there within 2 feet of each other, and every one of them was oblivious to everybody else around them. They wasn't oblivious to somebody somewhere probably, but they was oblivious to people there. And I'm going to tell you from my own relationship with my children and knowing what they are and having these things around, I'm going to tell you they are addictive. They're consuming. They'll grab you and do that. I just want to warn you that our hope is in Christ. It is not to use them. But you better control those things in your life. Because there's something we're going to have the key, and it isn't in those things. It isn't in trying to find the information on there. It's the ability to be able to contact the God of the universe, the one that can change it all, the hope of our life. It's to be able to look and find Christ for the moments of my life. Lord, help me today. Not to be sidetracked with all of this and this. It isn't that's wrong. The devil will take advantage of it in any way he can in your life. Yeah, you can get bad things across it, but I ain't talking about that. We know that. I'm talking about it just eat you up with it all. Don't take it away from you. Folks, I'm going to tell you what I'd call that, and y'all don't get mad at me. I got a word for that. When it hits a certain level, it's called fanatic. Technologically fanatic is what it is. Because you'd do anything to get it to do it. Now, I know this. I know that the want to go to bed with it. And as soon as the light hits it, again, I've seen that. And we're warned against it because that's not our hope. We need to find the Lord in our life and Him be real to me. I desire the Lord. I'm not ashamed of Him. I'm fanatic. I've been fanatic ever since I've been saved. People say, what are you doing? This and that. No, it's because I'm fanatic. From the start, I've loved this enough that I'm fanatic about it. Used to drive through snowstorms over two major mountains just to get to Sunday morning service. And people would say, you drove that over there to go to church? They would drive three times that much through a worse storm to go to the beach. But I was fanatic. That's right. I'm fanatic about Jesus. They was fanatic about ball games or going to the beach or fanatic about vacation. I'm fanatic about the Lord. And do all kind of weird things and strange things about it. I invite you tonight to a fanatic side. Be fanatic for the Lord. Give Him your all.
Trust in Him, and I assure you it'll be the key for all your future success. And no matter what this whole world will throw at you, and if the Lord tarries and you live to be an old person, you can say at the end of it, the Lord has helped me to be faithful through this wicked world, and I have been able to keep my salvation through it all, and it was because of the Lord being the light of my life. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.